Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is the OXS Jamaica Podcast, Reasonings with Odessa, Episode 7. Oh, we're drinking a lot of coffee, darling. Welcome to Sensi Medical Cannabis House. Relax and realign your mind, body, and soul. Improve your focus, manage your stress levels, and say goodbye to anxiety. Elevate your experience. Visit us today inside the Pulse Complex, 38A Trafalgar Road, Kingston, Jamaica. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sensi Meds.
I need my air, man. I need the air, man. I need a breathe. I need a breathe. I need a breathe, 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 breathe. Yeah, yeah. Stunning. Yeah. Hold on, my son.
What's up, everybody? Ba-na-na-na-na. It's me, and yes, it's the end of summer. Summer done, and I'm happy because I'm welcoming winter. Summer in Jamaica, as I've been saying, was hella hot. It was so hot. It was like, I ain't wearing no bra hot. I'm happy to just walk around my house naked hot. It was just damn hot. And I want to rant about National Water Commission and also National Roadworks for those that are Jamaican that don't know all the tingo. We had no water. Kingston was like was the worst place to be in Jamaica for the summer because there was no water. It's big up to all the massives that like to bucket bathe and have to bucket bathe right now because January was rough. It was rough. So little water come back, and the road is kind of getting back a little bit better now, but we still got those manholes that everyone is bumping into. So Constant Spring Road will still be named Baghdad. It's a war zone for me, same way. And also Marcus Garvey Drive is the apocalypse, you know, because I don't even know where I'm going when I reach down there. Anyway, let's talk about what was hot for the summer apart from the heat. Who was hot for the summer? Hands down, it's going to be my special guest for this episode of Reasonings with Odessa, and that is coffee. Yeah, coffee come in like a rapture, and she just rapture everybody, rapture the industry. She was not only played the most on radio here locally in Jamaica, she was played in the region. She is just a global superstar right now. And she, you know, Toast was dominating everything, everywhere. She was seen on top radio, I mean, top television shows such as Jimmy Kimmel. Her music has been sung by top celebrities. It's just ridiculous, and it's so ridiculous as well that it just made a lot of the industry locally bad-minding her for what, I don't know. We should be celebrating that a young, gifted musician such as her is out there in the world putting a good face on what is fresh and what is hot and what is young out of Jamaica. And she's doing it in the purest sense, and she's not selling out our culture and our image, nothing. So big up to coffee. I think that's the only person I can talk about that was really hot for the summer apart from the heat. I don't know anything else. You know, we're going to welcome a new festival that's going to be coming back very soon. Reggae Sunsplash is coming back, so I'm really interested to see what's happening with that. Reggae Sunfest was pretty dope. You know, it was a bit tight and crowded, but production, as always, was pretty dope, and it was a return of Budgie Banton to a festival that wasn't anything to do with his. So, yeah, that was cool. But you know what? Let's get into this interview, because I know you all are waiting to hear what Coffee has to say. I caught up with Coffee like a few months back while she had a little break on the road, and she calls me auntie, guys. My relationship with Coffee goes back about 2.5 years to 3 years, and I was introduced to her by Kumar Bent, formerly of Raging Fire. So sit back, drink some coffee with white rum, because that's a sponsor. That's what I was sipping on, coffee and a little bit of white rum. So sit back, relax, and let's get into this Reasonings with none other than coffee. Before we get started, guys, hold on. Coffee and I did not do this interview while in a bathroom or a toilet. It sounds echoey, but I had a mic issue. But you still can hear the fabulous coffee. So I'm really sorry about the audio. The next ones will be a lot better. Anyway, let's get going, because I'm just rambling. Let's get going. It's Reasonings with Odessa, everybody, and I am so freaking blows and skirt happy to have with me my niece, who I call her my niece. It's 2 years I've been knowing about this daughter. She's a beautiful soul, a beautiful person, a beautiful spirit, and she's the hottest thing since sliced bread right now. Everybody at our altar, I want to say welcome, coffee. How are you, my love?
To us. I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy that we could have these Reasonings right now. So your real name is Michaela Simpson.
Yes, it is.
Who is Michaela Simpson versus coffee?
All right, to be honest, I've actually, like, coffee has been my nickname ever since I was about 12 years old. So the person I am now is literally, like, coffee resonates with me so much that there's not much of a difference, to be honest. And I'm, like, a pretty much straightforward person, like, what you see is what you get. So I would just say, like, I would like to think I'm a humble person. I can be very friendly. I think I'm very polite.
I think so.
Thank you.
And it's about 2 years I've known you, and there's no difference. Like I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about you, and I said that the difference with coffee versus some of the other up and coming talent is that you have that Usain Bolt factor of humbleness.
Thank you.
So everybody can, you greet everybody the same way, you deal with everybody the same way. Same like Usain Bolt, to this day, somebody goes to you saying, can I get an autograph? You'll give it to them, and he is like the boss right now. And that's the difference. Why are you so humble? Like, what makes you so humble?
I was raised in a humble background, so, you know, it was basically just me and mommy, and she taught me, I would say, all the good things and how to be a simple person yet impactful. And I think I just took everything from her. She's always been a humble person because she's an actress, so she like would come on commercials from time to time on IT and Fancy Cat and stuff like that. So she would have her moments to where she'd go.
What's mommy's stage name?
Well, they give her different stage names based on the occasion, but her name is Joanne Williams.
Joanne Williams.
Yeah, many people know her by that as well.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah. She's
Thank you.
So you speak about Spanish Town, where you're from, a lot in your music.
Definitely.
What was it like growing up, and where do you see the future? What do you want the future for Spanish Town? Because you know the community has gone through a lot, and they recently won, like, what's it called? School Challenge Quiz.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal for them. But what was it like growing up, and where do you see the future of Spanish Town, and where do you want it to be?
Growing up in Spanish Town was a simple, like almost a small town vibe, as opposed to like a Kingston or a city vibe. So it was definitely a difference for me to go to school here. But St. Jago High School, which I said won the school challenge, they were like a very known school. So they're like the traditional high school of Spanish Town and of St. Catherine as a whole.
They celebrate 174 years in school, and that's like, I can't believe it.
Legendary.
Yeah, but Spanish Town is like rough. Like, people don't like to go through Spanish Town. Spanish Town is a bad name. People like Chronix and you are doing, you know, bringing Spanish Town again more forward. What is the future, though? What do you want to see happening in the community?
I want to see more productivity in Spanish Town. So as you would say, a lot of people don't like driving through Spanish Town or passing through. There's like, they have a lot of, especially in the town, they have a lot of people who just hang out on the streets like day and night once they finish school, and they like them have a thing where they hustle. And I would love to see, like, I would love to intervene in Spanish Town in a way that, you know, like, you can where me can uplift the people them and make them not just sit around anymore, but find something, anything to do, you know. Because see, I stopped going to school like after 11th grade, mm-hmm. but I'm still trying my best to make something of myself. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see everybody trying to do that as well and aiming for something rather than just
sitting, just sitting around. There's a great energy in Spanish Town. I was there filming a couple of weeks ago when I was in the market area and stuff like that. And I actually thought about you and asking you that question.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, Rose, and I think a little fear. Really? But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
And then also, later on, I want to speak to Chronix a little bit more about that. But so you have this newfound fame, and as we were just talking about the whole Usain Factor thing, what is it that you... Well, let's wrap that. I'm going to edit that bit out. I want to talk about your style. We're kind of dressed the same today. We're repping Adidas. Adidas, you need to sponsor her. I have a link for it, but you need to sponsor her.
Big things. I said a good thing then.
Yeah. So you're really... Tell us about your style, because that's what people like about you.
Yeah.
They like that you're not overtly sexual like the rest of the black artists. I won't say just reggae artists, I say black female artists out there are always told to be overtly sexual or sexy or whatever. Why is it that you like to just dress as you are?
I don't know. Well, first of all, I would say a part of me was raised that way because mommy raised me in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always not a very I never exposed a lot growing up when I wore clothes. And I think I would say now that I dress very comfortably. So however, I feel like on a particular day, I try to dress like that. So like for instance, today I had rehearsal, so I knew that I wanted to wear a little track pants and a nice comfortable shirt.
Guys, we're actually twinsies today because we're both in black and white Adidas
track pants. We're
both in Adidas sneakers. I just not wearing an Adidas top today.
Yeah.
So you'll see the picture of it later.
Definitely.
All right, tell us about when you fell in love with DJing. And did you used to have battles at school?
No, we never have them exciting thing there. But the guys had it though. The boys had battles and stuff. But I remember when I was 14 years old, I was in 9th grade, and I felt like a sudden yearning for reggae music somehow. So I remember I went in on Chronix, Protégé, people like Runkos, Lila Sevana, Royal Blue. I remember I was just like a little reggae baby at that time, and I was sharing like the songs I was listening to with, you know, my peers and stuff. I remember Runkos have a song named Victim. I knew it word for word. I used to play it on my guitar and stuff. And then Protégé particularly, I knew a song by him that's titled Not a Marijuana Song, Acoustic, the acoustic version. And it's so amazing to like play it. The flow is sick. And I would always do that. Like I would sit at the front of the school with my guitar every morning and just learn new songs and just play, just, you know, impress the people passing by. And there was a security guard who always support me. So when he see me, he look out for me, so make sure I was there. No, he never told me his name, to be honest. But if I see him, if I see him, I do know him. I'm a general that, you get me? So like, I just fell in love with music through playing my guitar and, you know, performing other people's songs. And I was like, wow, I think I would like to have something like this for myself lyrically. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start writing pieces now. And as I performed, I enjoyed performing any song with my guitar, like if it's just sing back somebody's song or spit somebody flow, like it felt really good. So I was like, I wanted to create some, and I started, you know, practicing with rhyming and stuff. Start simple, cataract bat, you know, school tool rule. So yeah, but over, like, I did it every day, and over time I was a very a keen person, so I listened a lot. And when I heard a new word, I try to rhyme it and rhyme it like as much as I can. So I create a whole, Like a whole, not a song, but probably a verse or so, just off of one rhyming word, and it just took off from there.
Tell us about when you first heard your first song on the radio. What did you feel like? What was going through your mind?
I was very excited.
What was it?
It was burning. It was burning. And I think, I remember the first time I heard Burning on the radio, I had to be at Central Plaza at the time. And I think I was like, we're driving out of the plaza. And right as we reached the road, like to turn on the road, like I heard it and I was like, whoa.
What was
this
about?
Is happening. Like, channel.
What?
We're doing. Yeah, like, for real. Because I remember, you know, like, I wasn't exposed to music very much like that. I never knew any musicians or anything like that. So I didn't know, like, I didn't have even an idea what it would feel like to have myself heard on such a platform as the radio where people listen to every day, even me. So, yeah.
Outside of reggae music, like, we're going to talk about our favorite artists.
Yeah, today, please.
But outside of reggae, who, like in hip hop, like if I say Drake or Pusha T, who would you prefer?
Moda said Drake, like I told myself that I would listen to some Pusha T, but I haven't gotten around to much of that. But may I forgive him? I tried to.
Lyrical content is.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's sick.
I hear that.
All right, let's just go into our love for our favorite artist, the African giant, Burna.
Most def.
Burna boy, what is it about Burna that you really love?
I remember watching a video one time about like almost 2 years ago, or probably about a year ago on Instagram, and I think it was like somebody was doing a photo shoot and his song Ye was playing in the background, and I was like, I've never heard anything like this before, like, who is this? And we comment and I was like, who sing the song? And the director missed the song, and we look up him album outside, and then I took it from there and I went to, you know, I think it's On a Spaceship, and it's like, I was like, whoa, and then we just start listening over and over until I learned all this stuff, and I was listening to his singles outside of that, and it was just like a newfound enlightenment, like, yeah. Wow, I didn't know this kind of talent existed, to be honest.
He's amazing. You know, Lara's over there probably rolling her eyes at us right now. We don't care. We love Burna. I've been following Burna for 8 years, and his single Run My Race is the first thing that perked me up. And I was just like, this kid is dope. The visuals of the video, everything was dope. You know that song?
I'm not sure if I know that song, but I was looking at some of his earlier videos. I know of two of them, I think, like, he had low hair, and I think a part of it had him driving, and there's another one that he was in, like, a white, like, he was an angel in the video.
Yeah.
Well, I remember what the names of those.
We got to Burna Rankin.
Every
man.
Time.
Burna Rankin is the boss. When you come to Jamaica, it's also, Burna's giving you a visa. He's offered a visa for you to Nigeria.
Yeah.
Wow. Burna, I just like to say, I am my auntie. Fanny Puffy is going to Nigeria, Lagos, so. Auntie Odessa has to come.
You're not.
So, Toast now. Toast has become a celebration anthem for 2019. Did you ever expect this song to be this big? And what was the vibe working with, like, a Walshy fire? Big up Walshy, my homie.
Yeah.
And what was your... Did you ever know? Like, everywhere you go now, this flies out.
Yeah.
Toast celebration, this, that. Did you ever know it would become that big?
No, I never imagined it would... I remember just writing the song based on, like, feeling exactly what I expressed in it, and also thinking about the rhythm, like, this is new, like, I've never, because before that when I wrote that song, I had only Burning and Ragamuffin out already, so I was like, okay, well, this is a different type of beat, you know, to, you know, Burning, which is like a reggae vibe, and then Ragamuffin, which is like a spin-off of the real rocker name.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is different. I don't know how people are going to feel about it, but I like it, and I hope the Jamaican people are able to accept this rhythm for what it was. You know what I mean? So it's like, when I released it, I wasn't skeptic, but I was curious to see, like, what the response would have been like, and it really blew me away, to be honest, based on my expectations or what were not expectations at the time.
Yeah, man, it's huge.
Yeah.
Like, you have people from Hollywood celebrities dancing to it. Everybody, it's huge. Like, my brother in London, who you met.
Yeah, I I met him at Danis. I met him on the street. But he was like, he had his book stall.
Yeah.
And I was walking on the road and he held me up and he said, you know, it was so funny because me and Tommy just walk and like, you know, Tommy was like, she was a bit protective. So at first she was like, you know, whatever. And he was like, Odessa's brother, and I'm gonna say yo, general. But I was greeting him, and then like I went over to his bookstore and I was like looking at a few of his books, and I really love what he's doing. I must say, so big him up.
You see, my cousin that does that. So
yeah, I saw him as well.
My brother's a man that don't.
Yo, Marie.
Right? Like, my brother's like serious person, and he's just like, yo, Odessa, let me tell you something about that.
And say, yo, I don't normally do this, and I don't normally do this. And I say, yo, I appreciate it.
He sent it to my brother.
We said, make sure you said all this.
Yeah, he did. So my brother's a man that don't rate young, fresh reggae artists, and he rates you. So that means, and he's like, I love that Toast song.
I appreciate that.
It's wicked.
Yeah.
It's so when my brother gives it the rep, I know it's gonna be really good. But on your EP, My Tune is blazing, and I love what you're saying in the song. It's very political. What were you thinking at that time when you wrote Blazing?
One know them can't hurt. Get the youth stand firm. When your life starts at the matrix and you're always just up in the latest, travel go everywhere in a spaceship. How to get the youth if you relate with?
As I said, like, I'm a person who, like, I offer to you what is actually within me at all times. So it's like exactly what I was saying in the song. Like, I'm just a thing, and I say, I remember, you know, living in Spanish, so you see a lot of things.
Holy God.
And then you don't see a lot of things because there's a lot of stuff that is missing from Spanish, so like, you know, good representation from the government who come in the communities and make sure everything is all right. They don't really do that, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, so it's like me saying, you know, you have some. And then I went to high school at Arden in Kingston, mm-hmm. So it's like I would come to Kingston sometimes and I would see the difference, and I would see how like people operate in here, especially, you know, like police officers and stuff. And it's like me say, so I'm to Spanish Town, mm-hmm. And I say, have some of them who them just go around and flaunt where they buy with the citizens their money, and it's like you would never really help. And I remember I was also thinking, like, man, I can't bash like the government within, like, for doing or not doing what they are not doing, but
they can do more for them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And I said, personally, if I were to put myself in such a position, or even to be the prime minister, I would have literally, you see, instead of like buy a huge house or buy this one bugger, this and that and this and that, I would literally take a special interest in helping my country, even if it's out of my pocket. Like, would I be the one prime minister where it's like, you know, say if you're so needed, I'm gonna find the money, I'm gonna put it there regardless of whether the income is there for the government or not. Because they make, it's like, I'm not going too deep on that, but we know based on how they operate, you know, they're having some really nice, you know, them. But I mean, exactly, like, if you're putting yourself in that, why work so hard to be placed there, to be voted for, and then you don't really do what it takes.
I think,
you know,
that
what I mean?
Every government official who is representing your community should live in the community.
Even
there
better.
Should be nobody in government
that's
repping a community that doesn't live in that actual.
I know about the community.
But they need to live there to know.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're going to rep this area, Eltonville, where you're from, live there,
mm-hmm.
So that you know what's going on in the community
at all times. And what helps as well is that if, like, whatever the community is going through, you're going through it at the same time, so you won't like turn a blind eye to the things going on, because you feel it too, you know.
That song is dope.
Thank you.
So I'm just letting your company, record company, everybody know that. Yo, and what was it like working with Jane?
It was awesome, and I was actually saying, you know,
recorded it together in the studio.
No, we
together.
Didn't get the chance to. But to be honest with you, Teflon sent me that beat,
mm-hmm.
And I was listening to it, and I knew I wanted to work on it, but I didn't know what to put at all. And it's like I felt very stuck, and I hit Teflon, and I was like, hey, could I get Jane on this track for me, please? And she sent over the chorus, the hook that she mm-hmm. has there now. And it's like, I just listen to it, I'm going to say, what? And I'm done the song, and I'm like,
wow.
Quick timing, because she's like, all the inspiration for my lyrics came from what
that
she was saying, especially. Yeah.
But it means it's It hits me.
Yeah, thank you.
And it complimented your, whatever you did, it just complements it.
Thank you.
It's just, oh my God, it's dope. Anyway, I know you're a busy woman. We're going to link up a little bit further and a little bit more later. Is there anything you want to put out there to everybody?
Not necessarily, but big up yourself, Alyssa. And thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
No problem, my love. You always got my support. You know I'm auntie.
Thank you.
You always got my support. All right, that's it. Reasonings with Odessa with the amazing coffee tours. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'd like to thank my special guest, Coffee. You're beautiful. You're a star. Keep shining. Also, would like to thank my Drinky Poo sponsors, which was Ray and Effie White Rum. Always have that with a little bit of coffee, guys. It works. Also want to thank Vigilante Studios, Prince DOS Productions, Sensi Medical Cannabis House. And of course, you guys, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and like on Apple Podcasts or the podcast platform of your choice. Until the next one, I'm your host, Odessa. Linkage laters. Peace.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So, yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.